Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quirky podcast that brings you writing tips and life tips. I'm Sean, and with me, as always, is Carrie Jones, New York Times and international best-selling author and awesome woman.
I'm also Sean's wife, so he has to say that. We always start our podcast with a random thought, and then we go into the writing tip and the dog tip. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Enjoy!
Hey, it's random thought in the office time.
It's random sick Carrie in the office time.
Sean got sick this week and got me sick again.
Actually, I believe you were the one that was sick first.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, it takes my body longer, but then it recovers faster.
All right, let's just get into it, man.
All right. You don't want to talk about my superior immune system?
No.
So, oh, wow, that's cool.
All right, so people don't know what you're talking about when you say that, baby. So here on the podcast, we start with random things where no one knows what Sean's talking about. But really, there's this article on cultofweird.com. All the links are in the podcast notes. And a man has built a skeleton made, not just a skeleton, I'm sorry, a skeleton guitar made from the remains of his deceased uncle.
That's awesome.
Dude, how wild is that?
That's cool. Oh, look at that.
All right, so this guitar is basically like his rib cage is the body of the guitar, and it has a normal fretboard.
Yeah.
And his pelvic bone is like at the bottom of it.
Yep.
Man. It looks very metal.
That's insane.
And it's made from real human bones.
It's like an entire rib cage.
The guy who built it goes by Prince Midnight on YouTube. And he allegedly wrote it, quote, built it to, quote, memorialize his headbanging uncle in the most unique and metal way possible. He used his mortal remains to build a working electric guitar. End
wow.
quote.
That's crazy. I wonder who did the work for him, like the bone joint work there.
I don't know, man.
That is so cool. This is link's going to be on podcast notes, right?
Yes. So here's a quote from the article, again, from cultofweird.com. My uncle Philip died in the 1990s in Greece, Iago says. That's the prince of mountain darkness, whatever his name is. His real name is Iago. He originally donated a skeleton to the local college. It says collage. But
oh,
I think they mean college. I was medically prepared for his school. So that's how the bones are all fine.
I got you.
After 20 years, he ended up in a cemetery my family had to pay rent on. Like, literally, in a wooden box. It's a big problem in Greece because orthodoxy, religion, doesn't want people cremated. So I went through the channels, State Department, etc., to repatriate his remains. So then, continuing, I got the box of bones from Greece and didn't know what to do at first. Bury them, cremate them, put them in the attic. All seemed like poor ways to memorialize someone who got me into heavy metal, Iago says. So I decided to turn Uncle Philip into a guitar.
That is crazy.
It's amazing. Everyone should go, as long as you're okay with seeing skeletal remains, you should go look at it.
That is so cool.
He named it the Skelecaster.
Man.
The Philip.
That, he said drilling into the bone was incredibly bad smelling.
Oh, that's nasty. That might be too much.
Similar
for me,
to burning hair.
Man, that's just gross. Moving on.
I think that's so cool.
Would you learn to play guitar if you had that guitar?
No.
Why not?
Number one, it's probably not the best guitar to learn how to. I mean, look, the strings go through his rib cage. So.
Yeah, like it's like when he's strumming. Like, his hand is inside his uncle's
I think you need to be a pretty good player before you move on to this advanced instrument of awesomeness.
You're so much more metal than I realized, baby.
But you know what? He's missing one little detail.
What's that?
You know, usually down at the lower part of the body of a guitar, they have like a little sticky handle. What's it called? It's got a name.
The fretboard?
No, down here.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, never mind.
They need the sticky handle?
Yeah, but it could be in the shape since it's down by his pelvis of like a fake penis.
So, yeah, we're going to move on for
it. I bet the next story is probably not so cool, is it?
Well, in your head, probably not, but I did pick it out because it has wild boars in it.
Hey, that looks like Sparty.
Our dog's name is Sparty.
Just a different color hair.
He does not look like a wild.
He looks just like that.
He's a little chubby.
He's got the little curly tail and everything.
He's a chow mix, a lab chow mix.
It's all chow that gives him that look.
All right, anyway, so this article in the Miami Herald starts off with, Rome has been invaded by Gauls, Visigoths, and Vandals over the centuries, but the Eternal City is now grappling with a rampaging force of an entirely different sort. Rubbish-seeking wild boars.
Wow.
Can you imagine, like, boars just going through your town and be like, I'm going to go get the garbage. Like,
just let people hunt them.
I wonder if they are. So they found, like, they've seen entire families of boars.
Yep.
And they see them every day. And they're in groups of 10 to 30. And they, like, come out of the parks, because there's parks all around Rome. And then they trot, according to the article, into the streets full of traffic.
Wow.
And look for food out of the rubbish bins, because I guess in Rome.
Yeah.
They have a lot of rubbish.
Well,
and they're not the fastest on the trash pickup.
On the pickup?
I feel like they should work together, honestly.
I don't think it matters if you're going to be... They're aggressive, those boars. They're always a problem.
Anyways, so there's a election coming up, and they're trying to attack or say the mayor shouldn't be the mayor anymore. Virginia Raggi. Because of the boars, man.
Huh?
And the garbage collection issues. But they're like, no, it's more complicated than that. And so they're arguing like they always do in elections.
Wow.
So they started a program back in 2019, and they tried to capture them and then slaughter them. And now they're allowing people to hunt them, which had been forbidden.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like deer on our island. Like, people are always crashing into deer because you're not allowed to hunt them here, right? So instead you hunt them with your cars accidentally.
Or on purpose.
But the deers don't rampage through Bar Harbor, Maine.
No. Usually they might stroll down the middle of the street in the middle of the night, but that's about it.
Or in the daytime sometimes, but they don't go in groups of 10 and 30 and try to get our garbage.
No.
Deers are more chill than that.
Hogs will eat anything. Deer are pretty much just vegetarians, so...
So there's a quote in that article in the Herald, which is, I'm sure, off of AP, but it said 79-year-old Grammy, and she said, I'm afraid of walking on the sidewalk because on one side there are dumpsters for the rubbish, and they, the boars, jump on me.
Wow.
Isn't that sad?
It is.
Did you know that wild boars over there can weigh up to 220?
Well, I didn't know that.
We make them bigger over here, don't we?
Well...
Just
they,
like
they get bigger over there too if you did certain things to them, like castrated the males and stuff, because then they lose their sex drive and all they want to do is eat and get fat.
Kind of like
Sparty.
Kind of like
dude, husband. I have a really good. Whose husband?
Not mine.
That's for damn
You're
sure.
Sexy tower.
That's
tree
how
of
I stay
man,
sort
baby.
Of Finnish.
How
sex drive. Anyways, I have a brilliant idea.
Okay, what's the idea?
Let's buy some or fashion some fake tusks and put them on Sparty, and he could be a wild hog for Halloween.
Oh, that's a really good idea. He'd be a perfect one.
Because he looks just like a one.
He does.
Your favorite story.
All right, so my favorite story is not gross. It's interesting because it involves the brain, right?
Yeah.
So, on Ripley's Believe It or Not, they talk about this guy, and his name is Colin Darkey of Detroit, Michigan. And he, allegedly, only 1% of the people in the world can do this, but he can draw or paint, create art with both hands at the same time.
It's pretty amazing.
So, each hand can draw a different image simultaneously. And his double-handed artistic feats, according to the article, have made everybody all excited. And it's even in a book, Out of the Box, by the Guinness people. I mean, Ripley's people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so, like, he's a great artist already. But he can, like, do two hands drawing different things at the same time for the same picture. That looks nothing like Billie Eilish, however.
Oh, you don't think so?
I had to read that was Billie Eilish.
Oh, I got it.
I thought it was the man who had the skeleton guitar, that piece of artwork. Honestly, I did not think Billie Eilish. That looks like a man. That is not.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything right now.
That doesn't look like her. But anyways, it's pretty cool. Like, because you can, he has an Instagram, I think, and you can see him drawing things, like Robin Williams and famous artists all the time. And he's just like, both his hands are going at it, man. Sometimes he does draw the same thing at the same time there. It's not always different.
I have, in all these examples, I've never seen him draw anything different. He draws two halves of the same picture.
He shades in different ways, and sometimes it's not a...
Like, to me, that's still the same...
Thing. Yeah. I was just trying to write my names with, like, my first name and my last name with one hand and the other
hand. At the same time?
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
That must have some spacing issues, huh?
No, that was
fun. Like, between first and last name?
Oh, yeah, but you know what I found?
Yeah.
That if I write my first name with my left hand and my last name with my right hand, it was way easier than doing it in the reverse.
Well, that's because you have to cross your arms, right?
Oh, I wasn't worrying about it being in the right row.
Oh. Okay.
But I think it's just because visually my brain's like, oh, the Carey has to go on the left side.
Right.
And the Jones. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
But I tried this, and I'm not a good drawer. At all. I'm a painting person.
Oh, you're
person,
a good drawer.
And I paint with my left hand all the time. So I was like, oh, this will be fun. And it was. I think I could do it.
It's really cool. It really is.
Like, it's amazing. You should check it out.
Yeah.
Sean didn't even try.
Me? Because I can draw a stick figure with both hands at the same time. It still won't be symmetrical.
Why are you like that?
Because I have never practiced drawing, and I have no natural ability
to draw whatsoever. But you could have tried, man. You could have tried.
Oh, well, I was busy at the time. Writing tip of the paw.
Hey, so this writing tip is about over-explaining.
Over-explaining?
Yeah, man. All
right, who does that?
We all do. So authors. And those of us who want to be one, let's just admit it, we're insecure, right? We're pretty insecure as humans. Humans are generally insecure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We want people to understand what we're getting down. And so writing is communication, and we want to make sure our readers are getting what we're putting down, like I just said, right? Like, we want them to understand what we're saying.
That's right.
So what do we do, Sean?
We over-explain, Carrie. And that over-explaining slows down our pacing and makes our reader not want to read anymore.
So there are lots of bigger ways of over-explaining and smaller ways. And so let's just talk about what is over-explaining.
All right.
It's when you keep adding things on to make sure your reader gets what you're saying. Like this.
Sean punched the wall. He was so angry he could spit, his hands clenched into tight fists. What kind of butthead are you? He roared.
So, that seems all right, right?
It's totally inaccurate, but I wouldn't have said butthead.
He wouldn't have said butthead, but I was trying to get us away from an explicit rating on our podcast.
Not enough to punch a wall.
So anyway, all four of those sentences tell us the same thing, that Sean's angry. And you can cut that down. You can cut down that to one or two of those expressions, and the reader's still going to get it. We have to trust the reader's brain and trust ourselves. So here's a rewrite.
Sean punched the wall. What kind of butthead are you?
We still know he's angry, right?
You would think so.
Yeah. So it's just not in long passages that us writer people do this. We do it in short bits, too. Here's some of the big ones. Sean and I are going to read them.
She shrugged her shoulders.
That can just be...
She shrugged.
He nodded his head in agreement. This is my biggest pet peeve.
That can just be he nodded or he agreed.
Ah.
They shook their head no.
They shook their head. And
so basically,
finally,
you're doubling up here, right?
It's just like, you know, if somebody's
nodding their head, they're agreeing.
Right. And you don't need, and like they're nodding. What else are they going to be nodding? Their elbow?
Or what else are you going to be shrugging beside your shoulders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like seriously, come on. So here's the last one. He looked at his watch to check the time.
Well, see, I think this one's very, very valid.
No, it's not. It's stupid.
Well,
I have feelings because I'm sick. I'm so sorry.
The proper one would be he checked the time.
Well, no. It could be he looked at his watch. What else are you going to... Unless
you could be checking the date
before... Oh, for God's sake.
But let me present you with this example, okay? Way back when
you're an overwriter.
This was like still when cell phones were in their infancy.
Yeah.
Like we were barely beyond the flip phone mode. And I was dealing with this young kid one night when I was a cop.
Yeah.
And I said, do you even know what time it is? Uh-huh. And he's like, no, I don't have my cell phone on me.
Right.
Right.
I've never wear a watch because I break them, but yeah.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, never mind.
People have iWatches now, though.
Oh, you can do anything with an iWatch.
Well, I'm
surprised you can't transport yourself. I'm out of here, cop.
But anyways, it's implied, if it's a standalone sentence, that when you're looking at your watch, you're checking the time.
Oh, most 99.99% of the time, you're right, baby.
Right. So, other things we do is...
tell something that we just showed.
So, here's an example. Sean punched the wall. He was so angry. So, we're showing it when... Sean's anger when he punches the wall, right?
Yeah.
But then we're saying he was so angry, and we're telling it, right? So we're not just repeating, we're going into the land of telling, which is not good writing. It's less immediate.
And I just want to add here that this is one of your very biggest pet peeves. So another thing we do is we add in a dialogue tag that we don't need.
So, like, a dialogue tag is the he said or she said or they asked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we don't need it, we don't need it. You know, sometimes you don't need those bad boys.
So, like, a dialogue sentence with a question mark at the end pretty much says that a person's asking.
Right? A question mark means asking. Another thing we do that I didn't write down here is it's like, can you give me a question?
Hey, Carrie.
Oh, gosh, I'm afraid.
What do you want for dinner?
He asked curiously.
I made it clear and see.
So if you're asking something, you're curious. So don't say he asked curiously, right?
Yeah.
Because the curiously is there implied in the asking.
Exactly.
All right. So another thing is we add in silly adverbs that we don't need, like that one, curiously, when you're already asking.
Uh-huh.
And we add in a bunch of statements that are all saying the same thing, like that original example, right?
Sure.
And then what's our final thing, Shawnee?
Oh, this is a bad one. Acting like the reader is stupid.
So, of course, we know the person's nodding their head. We don't think they're nodding their butt. And the final over-explaining thing is like an info dump, which is just paragraph after paragraph of describing or giving information in exposition form. So it's like, imagine I'm talking for 30 sentences about what Sean is wearing.
Yeah, I don't like that really.
No, I know you don't.
Like, can I ask a clarifying question?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm gonna cough. Oh.
If it's like I'll use a question for this example. Can you sometimes use a clear, like Sean said, this is Sean saying this to you. Hey, love, when we go to bed tonight, can we make love? Sean asked hopefully. Like, is that legal?
You can do it, but I think it's pretty hopeful if you just look at the sentence.
Well, I think most people will assume. You're right. Okay.
All right. So when you do this over-explaining thing, the reason why it's bad is you...
number one, slow down the pace.
Number two...
run the subtext.
Number three, break my heart.
Break Carrie's heart.
Definitely break my heart. Number four...
you make the scenes dull. Over-explaining takes out the pizzazzies.
Pizzazz, baby. The word pizzazz.
I know. I was just kidding. Please don't think I'm that stupid.
Oh, my word.
Over-explaining takes out the pizzazz.
Number five.
It takes away the immediacy and the forward motion of the plot and scene.
So all in all, the writing tip of the pod, all condensed in an un-over-explained way, hopefully, is be all one and done, people. Trust the reader to get it and trust your skills to communicate well.
That's really succinct, baby.
Thank you.
I like it. Alright. So I just left the room to go ask Sparty what he thought about our subject matter today. And he said to me, dude.
I hate that too.
Sparty said to me, because I was the one talking to him.
Obviously, so dude, you need to say to me.
If you dress me up like a hog for Halloween, I'll literally bite your face off in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. And I said, don't get so angry, dog. And we had a little chat.
And?
I said I'm straight. I promised I wouldn't dress myself like a hoe.
Oh, that's kind of looking forward to that.
I might have lied.
Okay.
Anyways, he said, there's no need to over-explain. If you want a treat, go sit in front of the pantry and freaking start drooling on the floor. You know I'm hoping for a treat.
And that could be about you having copulation at night, too.
Oh, well, pretty much. Get under the covers and start drooling in bed. You know what I want.
And you know when you don't get it? When you ask too much.
Oh, when I'm too bothersome?
Yeah.
That's right.
It's the same thing.
It always works better when I just take it.
Nope. We have consent in the house.
We have a permanently signed consent. It's framed. It hangs right above the headboard in our bedroom. I can take it off the wall and show it to the police at any moment.
Oh, my word. So I think that the point... I'm so medicated right now. Okay, so the point is...
Don't over-explain.
Yeah, man, don't... beg and plead and bother and nanner on over and over again about the same damn thing.
Yeah. Like, look at my cute little dog sitting in front of the pantry, drooling all over the floor, looking very hopeful for a treat.
He wants that treat.
Yeah.
But if he paws me to get the treat.
No treat.
Or starts whining to get the treat, that's like an
idiot. Dang, it is just like in bed.
Yep. Mm-hmm, I told you.
Holy crap. Hey, thank you very much for listening. We hope we made you laugh at least one time.
Yeah, man.
And please
and learn
share,
something.
Like, and subscribe. Because we need more than two listeners.
Stop it. I think we have like 260...
Not listeners.
300,000 downloads.
But I know we got over a quarter million.
Nobody ever talked to us or anything about it.
I know.
Anyways, the music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and made available through the Creative Commons license. The artist is Broke for Free, and the song is Summer Spliff, and you can find that in our podcast notes, which are at carriejonesbooks.blog. We also have another podcast, Loving the Strange, that we stream live on my Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn sometimes on Fridays, and then Audia and Anchor and everywhere else on Saturdays. All my Twitter and Facebook and social media handles are C-A-R-R-I-E. You want to spell the next part?
J-O-N-E-S.
B-O-O-K-S.
Or?
Without the S.
Carrie Jones book.
Yeah, man. The links we mentioned, the random thoughts of the podcast, are always in our podcast notes here, wherever you're listening, and also on my blog. And I have new books out, so go buy them so I don't have to get a real job.
She's really close to getting a real job.
No!
Go to Amazon.com.
No, don't say that.
Look at Carrie Jones.
No. That's really depressing.
Sorry, baby.
You just broke my heart, Anika.
You can be a greeter at Walmart.
I'd be an okay greeter at Walmart.
Oh, you'd be a fantastic greeter.
But I don't think they pay me enough to keep you in your Bud Light.
No, probably not. That's all right.
Yeah. Hey, but really, thank you for listening. I hope you learned something.
I hope you learned something, too.
Keep it real. And we also have bonus episodes where I interview other authors. And we also have Be Brave Fridays where we share people's stories of bravery.
That's right. And send us one if you have one.
Because you can't be brave if you can't send the story.
That's right. Maybe that could be some of these Be Brave stories.
Just send it.
Actually, send in the story.
Oh, I have no story about being
brave. That's right.
Yeah, all right. Anything works. We're not judging.
Yeah.